Jesus said to love your enemies. What does he mean by those words? And more importantly, what does he not mean by that statement? This is what we're going to be talking about this morning on the program. Welcome to the broadcast. We're glad to have you listening, and we hope that you can turn in your Bible right now to Luke chapter 6, because we're going to be looking at the passage where Jesus talked about loving your enemies, and we're going to begin reading in verse 27. That is Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And after we read just a few verses from Luke's account, we're going to be turning back to Matthew chapter 5, because in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus discusses the same subject. But the difference is, back in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives even more details and more illustrations and explanation about this point. So let's begin here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Here's where the Bible says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other." Now let's stop right there, and let's turn back to Matthew's account, and we'll begin reading in Matthew 5, verse 38. "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now we've said before that sometimes it's good in studying a passage of Scripture to talk about what that passage does not mean before you get around to discussing what it does mean. And sometimes I believe it's necessary to clear the air, to clear the ground of what that passage does not teach before you get to a point where you're in a position to start discussing what it does mean and how it does apply to your life. And I believe that is very important in the situation that we're looking at here. When you talk about a passage like the ones that we're looking at, where Jesus talks about loving your enemies, where he talks about turning the other cheek, those are some of the most misunderstood and some of the most misapplied passages in all the Bible. As a matter of fact, when you look at the whole Sermon on the Mount, you'll find that much of the Sermon on the Mount is misapplied because people take it out of context. And that is exactly what we don't want to do in this case or any other case. So let's look for a few minutes this morning, and we're going to spend all of our time today talking about what Jesus does not mean when he says to love your enemies and to turn the other cheek and so forth. Number one, Jesus does not mean when he says to love your enemies that you have to have the same feeling for your enemies that you do for, let's say, your child, or your wife, or your mother. Jesus cannot be saying here that we have to reach the point where we have exactly the same warm and tender feelings towards somebody who is our absolute enemy as we do toward the dearest people to us on the earth. You see, this love that Jesus is talking about here is not so much a feeling, if it is a feeling at all. He's talking about a decision that you make. He's talking about a matter of the will, where you decide that you're going to do what's right toward that other person. You see, even Jesus had special feelings for some people. In John chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Well, does that mean that Jesus didn't love everybody else? Does that mean that Jesus loved them, but he didn't love his disciples? Well, of course he loved other people, but there was a special affection. There was a tender, warm feeling that Jesus had toward these people. Well, if Jesus himself had that kind of feeling, we shouldn't think that when Jesus was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, for instance, that he had the same warm feeling toward his enemies that he had toward his closest friends. That is not what Jesus means here, and that's not what the Bible teaches. The scriptures say in Psalm 7, verse 11, for instance, that God is angry with the wicked every day. So even God himself does not have a warm, tender feeling toward wicked people all the time. God is compassionate, and God sent his Son to die for the whole world. Yes, the Bible says that God so loved the world. God loves everybody. Now again, folks, the misunderstanding here usually is because of the word love. Because most people, when they see the word love, think of a feeling, and sometimes people think of only a feeling that you have. But you see, the word love in the Bible sometimes especially is talking about the decision that you make to do right and not so much a feeling that you have behind it. Number two, when Jesus says to love your enemies, he does not mean that it is wrong to go to war under any circumstances. This is not a passage which says that it's wrong in any situation to go to war. You see, back in the Old Testament, God's people went to war with the Canaanites. God's people were commanded by God. God told his own people to go to war and to fight in battle many times. Well, you see, if it was morally wrong for them to do that, then God would not have commanded that. But we find that in the book of Joshua, and we find it in many other Old Testament books. Somebody said, well, but we're not under the Old Testament, are we? That's true. But what you have to remember is that God has not changed. His moral nature has not changed. And these basic moral laws are the same today as they were in the Old Testament. Number three, when Jesus said, love your enemies, he does not mean that capital punishment is wrong. Again, the Old Testament taught capital punishment many, many times. As a matter of fact, before the law of Moses was given, the Bible says in Genesis 9, verse 6, that whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God created he man. So the Bible says that if a man takes another man's life, then he deserves to die himself. In Leviticus chapter 20, you have the death penalty given for numerous sins. And when you get to the New Testament, yes, the New Testament does authorize the death penalty. Because the Bible says in Romans 13, verse 4, that government bears the sword. Now, a sword is made for killing. A sword is the instrument of death. And Paul said that civil government bears that sword. Civil government has the authority from God to use that sword. That means to put people to death. So when Jesus says these words, to do good to them that hate you and to love your enemies and so forth, he does not mean that capital punishment is wrong. Number four, Jesus does not mean when he says to love your enemies that we have no right to defend ourselves. For instance, later in this book, in Luke chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus told his disciples that if you don't have a sword, then sell your garment and buy you one. Now, why on earth would Jesus tell his disciples to get a sword if it was wrong for them to carry a sword? Why would he tell them to buy a sword if it was wrong for them to use it to protect themselves and to defend their lives as well as their families? And what we find in Luke chapter 22, after Jesus said that, is that the disciples said, Lord, we have two. And he said, that's enough. And then when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, we find that Peter was one of the ones carrying a sword. Now again, if it had been wrong for the disciples to carry a sword and to use a sword under legitimate circumstances, then why on earth would Jesus permit and tolerate them to do that? So Jesus is not saying here that you have no right to defend yourself, that you have no right to defend your property, you have no right to defend your family under any circumstances whatsoever. Now here's something else we need to remember. when he says unto him that smites you on the one cheek, offer also the other, he does not mean that we are to let people mistreat us and then say to them, without them repenting, oh, I forgive you. Listen, folks, Jesus himself was struck on the cheek on one occasion. You read about that in John chapter 18, beginning in verse 19. One of the soldiers struck Jesus on the face. Well, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus said, okay, go ahead and hit the other one. Jesus said, if I have spoken evil, then bear witness of the evil. But if well, then why do you strike me? In other words, Jesus stood up to him. Jesus objected to what he was doing, and he reprimanded this man who had mistreated him on that occasion. So Jesus did not literally, physically turn the other cheek. Now that should tell us something. If Jesus was talking in literal terms here, if Jesus intended for us to apply this literally, then he would have practiced that, but he did not. So that ought to tell us quite a bit about what Jesus is talking about here, and especially what he does not mean by this. Now here's another passage. In Luke chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus said, if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. Now there's some people today who are teaching the wrong idea about this whole subject. There are preachers and other people who are saying that you're just to let people mistreat you and talk to you and treat you any way that they want to and sin against you, but you're never to say anything about what they do. You're never to stand up for yourself. You're never to correct them. And folks, what we find is that that is not biblical. Jesus himself said, if your brother trespasses, that means sins against you, then you rebuke him. You stand up to him. You tell him that he's wrong for doing that. And if he repents, then you forgive him. But this idea that's been around for a long time, that you just go ahead and forgive people in spite of the fact that they have not repented, is not something that Jesus teaches. And that's not what he's teaching here in Luke chapter 6. So I know that we spent all of our time today talking about what this passage does not mean. But tomorrow we're going to come back. And we're going to look at this in context, and we are going to look at what Jesus does mean by this, and we're going to look at how we ought to apply it to our lives because we do need this teaching. But I felt like today that it's very important for us to get these misunderstandings out of the way, and then we'll be in a better position to start applying it to our lives. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been good to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.